message to you. My scripture reading today is taken in 1 John. Let's turn to 1 John 4 and start at the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By the love of God was manifested in us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And let's go to chapter 5 and start at verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whosoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this Sabbath. We thank you for our sanctuary. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come here to praise you and give you honor and glory. We come to also bring petitions to you, Lord, and we give you thanks that we know that you work in everything and every aspect of our life. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for that love and mercy and forgiveness that you have for us. We ask your blessings on the rest of this service. Help and bless, Lord, and supply the needs of the ones that are not here today. And Heavenly Father, in all these things, we'll give you praise and honor. In Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. My text is at verse 3, and let's look at it. This is of the chapter 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I think if you would ask very many mainstream Christianity believers and churchgoers, I think you would hear very often something to the effect that would make you think that they believe actually that if you tried to observe God's commandments and keep them, that it would be burdensome to you. You would be burdened down with it. You couldn't do it. Why try? This would be the attitude of mainstream Christianity. But we know these words right here totally contradict that. His commandments are not burdensome. Were never intended to be burdensome. They were to show you his way, the way of truth, the way leading to light, the way in which we use his words to guide our life and our existence with each other and with him. And it's the way in which he would have us to go, to live our life. My message to you today is entitled, Those Loved by God. Those loved by God. And what does that make you think of? It for sure ought to make you think, Well, I certainly want to be one of those. So how do I get there? How do I know that I'm there? What promotes the love of God? What promotes His love toward us? How can we have more of the love of God directed at us? Obviously, if we really think about that, it's obviously the opposite of what gets the wrath of God. We certainly don't want that. So to get and be one of those loved by God, especially, we certainly got to do about the opposite of what is of those receiving the wrath of God. To get the love of God, first of all, if you know God's word and you are observant to the truth that you find there, you know that to be one of those loved by God, you have to be one of His obedient children. In other words, obedience. You got to be obedient to God. Well, exactly where did disobedience come into play? Very shortly after His law was given, wasn't it? He told Adam and Eve what He expected of them in their existence in the Garden of Eden. He laid down a few laws. We're maybe not told every one of them, but we're told at least a couple of notable ones. How long did it take them to disobey those very few laws that God had with them? Not very long. That must tell you something right there about the nature of man. How he is prone, with and without the help of Satan, and we know Satan was there. And we know Satan received his part of the punishment for disobedient in just that immediate act, as well as Adam and Eve. It's something to think about. God created, He brought into existence, He gave truth, He gave His law, and then very quickly, His creation disobeyed. It's something to think about that. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7 and start at the 12th verse. And let's see what we can get there. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you His covenant and His loving kindness, which He swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the grain of your new wine and of your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land which He swore to your forefathers to give you. Do you see that? To be loved of God, you need to be obedient to God. And as you are obedient to God, all these things are promised to you. All these things will come your way, will be yours automatically. All you got to do is react to God's word. Be obedient children. Our obedience is part of the proof that we love God. Our obedience is also a recognition of His lordship. We are saying, I trust you, God. I'm willing to do what you're saying. I'm willing to yield my will to yours. I'm willing to walk in your way rather than my way. I'm willing to see it from your standpoint rather than just my standpoint. I yield to you. Obedience on our part is essential for our spiritual well-being and success in all of our activities. Obedience is an act of the highest wisdom. Jesus said this to his disciples, if ye love me, you know, I love those ifs and I love those buts in the Bible because they provide a lot of clarification that other people would make very deceptive in all the various ways if you didn't have those buts in there and those ifs in there. They're important. Little bitty words, but very much clarifying a lot of the truth and the issues. Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. What was Yeshua's commandments? Same exact ones as Yahweh's commandments. Yeshua didn't say or do or believe or teach anything that Yahweh did not speak to him and did not teach him. That was all that Yeshua brought. More clarity, more understanding, a broader perspective. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 and 15. And also, Jesus, Yeshua said, ye are my friends. If ye do whatsoever I command you. Does that mean you are his friends if you do whatsoever you want? If you go wherever you want? If you speak whatever you want? If you react however you want? Does that mean you're still his friend? I'd say some clarification needs to be done there. He says you're his friends if you do whatever I command you. Is he going to be your friend if you bite somebody's head off at every fair opportunity that you have? I don't think he would like that. Is he going to be our friend if we just insist on going our way and doing our own thing regardless? I don't think the Word teaches that. I think the Word teaches do it His way. Say it His way. React His way. Get out of yourself and get more into Him and His way and His reactions. It's a better way. It's a better life. It's a better you. Secondly, God loves those that are righteous. Not only obedient, but righteous. Let's look at Psalms 146 and 8. Psalms 146 and 8. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Do you see? The Lord wants you to be obedient. He wouldn't have given you something bad for you. He gave you His law, His commandments. He wants you to abide in them. Abide in them and keep them. Walk in them. Do them. Even though a lot of people don't like to hear that word, do. But there is things to do. Be righteous. That means right living. Right walking. Right knowing. Doing the right thing toward God and doing the right thing toward your brothers and sisters. We become right with God through faith and in surrender to Yeshua, our Savior. Let's look at Romans 5, 1. Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's skip down to verse 18. So then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Do you see? We're comparing and going back to the original sin, the original disobedience of Adam and Eve. And it refers to that making all of us sinners and comparing that to now with the act of Yeshua shedding His blood for us, that we can all be now made righteous through belief in Him, through belief and having salvation, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, which brought us to Him anyway. And as we ask for more, God gives more. As we learn more, we can become better sons and daughters of God through the power of His Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Let's look at Matthew 5 and 6. Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We are right with our fellow man as we obey the commandments of our Lord and follow His example of love. Let's look at Matthew in that same chapter. Let's go to verse 23 and 24. Leave your offering, therefore, before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Let's go to that next one there. Let's go back to 23. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, then you're supposed to make it right with your brother, and then leave your offering In other words, reconcile yourself not only with God, but also with your brothers and sisters. To experience the fullness of God's love, we must deliberately at all times seek to do what is right in God's eyes, not our eyes, because all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirits, in Proverbs 16 and 2. And then in 14 and 2, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Can you just go and do whatever you please and whatever seems right to you? It's telling you right there, you can't go by that. You have to seek to do the higher way, God's way. And then lastly, or not lastly, but next to last, God loves those that are not only obedient, not only righteous, and He wants both, but He loves the cheerful giver. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We're speaking about those that God loves. And this is saying God loves a cheerful giver, a happy giver. What if you only give grudgingly? You just well not to do it. It's telling you right there, you need to be like God. God does what He does out of love. God is love. So it doesn't work unless you do it God's way. Don't expect it to work. Why would God love a happy giver? And surely it's not because He needs our gifts. In Psalms 50 and 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills." Why does He need what you have? He doesn't need it. He's wanting to bring blessings your way. He's showing you the better way to live and the way to be loved specially by Him, and the way to receive all of those blessings that we read you at the beginning. To be so blessed, you could literally not receive it. It would be so abundant, so overflowing, so much a blessing of every aspect of your life. That's what it is, to be loved by God and to be blessed by Him. It goes on to say in verse 12, "If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." God loves you, but He don't need what you have except in order to bless you and to show you the better way. That's the kind of giver that God is. God is a liberal, lavish, extravagant giver. The psalmist praised God for being a spiritual spendthrift. Let's look at Psalms 103 and verse 1 through 5. Psalms 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who drowns you, crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Isn't that beautiful? John 3:16 describes the boundless love of God. For God so loved the world. Paul seeks to reveal the riches of God's generosity in the following words. And we read this in Romans 8 and 32. Speaking of God, Yahweh, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you see there another promise of God? How shall he not, along with you having Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, how shall he not along with that freely give you all things? The insinuation is he does and he will. Romans 8 and 32. Paul responds to God's generosity by saying, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And you have to interpret that as being a gift that is above all gifts and beyond all imaginations, that he spared not his only begotten Son, but delivered him up for us all. From these great passages, there are certain truths that we should understand and cling to. God is not stingy. God never gives the bare minimum. God never gives grudgingly or reluctantly. God gives royally without measure. For the sheer joy of giving, he overlooks our faults. He overlooks our unworthiness. And he treats us as we do not deserve to be treated. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad that he doesn't treat you like you really deserve? And I praise God. Our Lord encourages us to be givers, for abundant life is found in giving. Jesus teaches us that if we want to find the highest possible happiness in life, we must imitate the generous attitude of God and be a giver. God is love. Love is not passive. Love is action. Love is realizing that your neighbor has wants and needs and preferences. And your love to your neighbor is to treat him like you would want to be treated yourself. Do for your neighbor. Look out for him. If he's about to step on something and fall and get hurt, try to help keep him from that. And if someone else would say, if his dog is lost and, you know, several blocks away, if you can, know that it's his dog. Get his dog and take him home. Or a lost cow out of a pasture, or a lost horse. I've heard that And it's our obligation to look out for our neighbor. Jesus places before us the example of the poor widow who gave her all. Have you ever thought about that from the aspect of giving, from the aspect of tithes and offerings for God's work? Let's look at Mark 12 and start at verse 41. Mark 12 and verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." Do you see the difference? Do you see the happy, cheerful giver that wants the work of God to be carried on, that realizes that God wants us to be givers just as He is, and wants us to be a happy giver, that type of giver? Let's see what Luke 6 and 38 says. Luke 6 and 38. And I want you to notice that there is one word of command here in this verse, Luke 6, 38. One word of command, and the rest of the verse is promise. And we start, give. That's the command. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Do you see God's way? One word of command, give. The rest of that verse tells you how, what's the result of that is going to be. He's going to bless you beyond, way beyond what you deserve. And He's going to bless you to overflowing, meaning you will be blessed so much you won't really be able to receive it all. Giving to some at first thought, they only want to see the negative of it all. How will I be able to meet all my bills? I'm so close to making ends meet as it is. They can only see the negative. They can only see it as a bitter pill to swallow. But those who by faith follow the Savior's example discovers that when the deed is done, the taste is like honey. Give, and God will love you for it as a happy giver, and abundant blessings will continue to flow. God lastly loves the sinner who repents. Let's look at Romans 5 and 8. Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves the sinner that comes to his senses and realizes God has a better way, a better plan, and it involves us accepting the blood sacrifice of His only begotten Son so that we can be restored to Him. Always restored to Him. Because of sin and the pointing finger of an accusing conscience, people in their natural state have a tendency to believe that God hates them. But nothing could be further from the truth. From the beginning of time, Satan, the devil, have used his deception to trick men and women into believing lies. He wants to twist the truth. He wants to misrepresent the nature and the character of God. Remember how he took that little statement that God said, when you disobey, you will die? Remember how Satan took that little statement there that God made and twisted it and used it deceptively to get Eve to do, and Adam to do what God had said not to do? Satan is the father of lies. He seeks to separate people from Yahweh. The devil seeks to destroy. God seeks for you to receive His truth. He seeks for you to be one of His children, and He seeks for you to be part of His family forever and ever and ever. The gospel is the good news of God's love for guilty sinners who need but do not deserve His grace and mercy. If you want to more fully experience the love of God in your life, then make yourself more lovable through a life of obedience, righteous, and devoted giving of yourself to God and to others. Be a loving person. Be a forgiving person. Be a giving person. As God is. He would like for us to accept His way. He would like for us to be more like Him. And He lets us know how to do that. God loves a willing and happy worker for Him and giver to Him and to our brothers and sisters who need that love that only we have to give. If you would, stand with me. And let's all read the blessing of God to each one of us and our blessing to each other. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Wonderful words. Bow with me in prayer.